You'll be delighted to know that we've now managed, after lots of, well, mostly my inefficiency at making sure that Dr. Tom has a regular spot, to having a regular spot. We had him a month ago, and I'm delighted to say that on a Friday we will be able to make contact with Dr. Tom Wallace, Siren Radio's resident chiropractor. Tom, are you there?
I'm here, Andrew. Thank you very much for having me again. I
That's
appreciate
a
it.
great pleasure, great pleasure. Now, you always ask me, come up with a subject, and I thought long and hard about it, and we're all really excited about the potential, despite the weather we're having at the moment, of being able to get out and get back into some level of new normal. But with the horrendous issues they're having in India with the flare-up of the double mutant strain, and the fact that it's got over here and it's causing all sorts of problems. Although we've had quite a big wake up, open up this month, the problem is they're looking towards the next fully opening up, and there are all these cautious words like, we're going to keep an open mind, you need to be much more aware of what you're doing and all the rest of it. It's up to us to be safe and rather than to be sorry. So I just wondered whether you could help us think of ways of coping with potential disappointment when we've, really been looking forward to, I mean, maybe we're looking forward to a holiday or something like that, and then it all goes a bit doolally. How can we prepare ourselves to be able to cope with that, look at it, and then move on from it?
I think it's a brilliant question, and it's something that nothing in life is really guaranteed, is it? And this situation isn't new. This situation is just magnifying what is quite often normal. You started a minute ago by mentioning the weather, and most of us Brits have planned a barbecue at one time in our life, and it didn't happen because of the weather.
Absolutely.
So that understanding of nothing in life is guaranteed, but also remembering what we have been forced to recognize and enjoy over the last year is that time on our own, or is that time with our close family, which a lot of us were saying just a few months ago how great that was and how brilliant it was to be forced to spend some time with family and spend some time at home and taking life a little bit easy. And as soon as we get that taste or that allure into what we were doing before, we're soon to forget that. And I suppose if we just remind ourselves of actually there are some blessings in this, and if we can try and count them and focus on them as things change, even if we're not able to go back into fully opening things up, we've still got a lot to be grateful for, if we have to stay, a little bit more isolated for a period of time.
I don't take exception with anything that you said. The only caveat I'd put is that this has happened so often in the last 12 to 14 months. We've been led to believe things are going to get better, and they do get better, but then they sort of suddenly retreat and get catastrophically worse. Now, I'm not asking you to delve into the science, but is there a point at which we have to find some sort of mechanism? And you perhaps pointed at one, being really thankful for the times we've had together. But is there a way that we can, wake up in the morning and do something mentally that will prepare us in case something doesn't quite work out? And it could be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be band-aid plans for barbecue or going for a nice walk. It could be more fundamental, but it could be a job, could be a relationship, or it could be a member of your family becoming ill. Just, is there some sort of little mental discipline that we can just hold on to at those moments when our plans, because we like to plan, just go awry?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing to say is, situations happen and circumstance happens, but it's always our choice as to how we want to react to that. And sometimes that is difficult to concept, and sometimes difficult to actually own. But at the end of the day, we really do have a choice as to how we choose to react to situations. But the Buddhist monks do it very well. They split their day into two halves. They start their day with putting their what they call putting their armor on, which is focusing on themselves and making themselves strong and sure of what they're doing. So that the second part of the day, which is spent in service of the community, that is not going to go, rosy every day. And they will have difficult times. It will be up against people who are necessarily saying what they're doing is maybe wrong, but done their practice first. So the same thing is true. You ask, what can we do in the morning? We can put a few things into our routine that puts our armor on, makes us strong, so that whatever situation we may fall into, we're better able to cope. And there's two realms of coping. There is mentally, but also physiologically. And I think what we're seeing now at the tail end of these disappointments is that people are now being physiologically affected. And what I mean by that is they've been mentally affected over and over again and worn down, so much so that that's got into the deep seats of their body, their physiology. And it has, you know, brings out ailments and physical problems in their health in a great way. So what we can do is we can think about, well, what are we doing in the morning to strengthen that, to build what's called our resilience or our adaptability to stress, as opposed to just focusing on the stress? Because we know what we focus on grows, and if we focus on stress, it's just going to become more stressful. Whereas if we focus on how our body can adapt, then it improves.
And of course, adaptation is the way we have evolved. I'm not going to go back into deep, dark history of us crawling out of the primordial soup, but that's, you know, the way of things. Let me just go back to that breathtaking image you gave us about the monks who divide their day into two halves. That idea of putting on some form of body armor, virtual body armor, to help us prepare ourselves so that we can then go out to help others. That's an interesting yin and yang principle, because it allows you to, first of all, be selfish to yourself before you can then go and serve others. Because if you're not in a good place, I suppose, you're not really going to be much help to anybody else.
No, beautiful philosopher Ayn Rand, she said, take care of me for you and take care of you for me. We have to be selfish to be selfless. And we could all do with being a little bit more selfish in the morning. So it's really simple. And to make it very practical for your audience, there's only, and I have said this before on the show, there's really only three areas that you need to focus on when it comes to your health, both physically and mentally. It's physical, chemical, and emotional stresses. How we think, how we move, and how we eat. And if we start each day right and do just one thing right within each of those three areas, we will have built up our armor to some extent. So if we took the thinking right to start off with, our mental health, you mentioned it earlier, and it comes down to that act of being grateful. So wake up in the morning and simply think to yourself of three things that you're grateful for. One of them is going to be, for most of our listeners, you're in a warm bed. You probably walk down the stairs and you've got a fridge full of food. And you've probably got your health right now. So there's three things we can be grateful for. If we think about how we're moving, if we start our day with some form of movement, actually getting the body circulating and moving, that can stimulate our emotional well-being through connections with the brain. It can be as simple as walking up and down the stairs. There are a lot of bungalows in Lincoln, granted, so you can march on the spot. And then if we think about how we're eating right, if we make sure that we fuel our body right in the morning, again, that can change our biochemistry. So for example, you see a lot of children walking to school drinking cans of pop. And unfortunately, what happens if we have sugar too early in the morning is it primes our body for defense. It thinks it's under attack. So we're already feeling a stress response before any emotional response might come at us. So we all know the good things we can do in terms of physical, mental, and emotional health. But are we doing it? Are we being selfish enough to say, actually, even for the first quarter of the day, I'm going to do this for me and I'm going to do what I know is right, so that when things might get tricky, my body is in a much better position to cope with it?
And I think a bit of that, I mean, this is fantastic. And to remind us of the rule of three is perfect. And I think going back to the first moments of your day, it may be you perhaps need to set your alarm clock 15 minutes earlier than you actually need to. Now, that may be painful for some people, but just to give yourself a chance to, like an athlete, to warm up, to get into the day, rather than being up, bang, crash, wallop, and out of the house in 20 minutes, which is quite often what people do. I suspect, and I'm talking a little bit apocryphally from family experience here, that because of working from home, sometimes we work far too late into the evening. So the distance between relaxation in the evening and having to get up and do stuff in the morning is unfortunately shrunk. So a bit of discipline from that point of view would be a good idea.
I agree. And it's always the case that the thought of doing the thing is more painful than the act of doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, I am a proponent of early mornings, 4:30, 5 o'clock starts. But
that's just not going to happen, Tom.
But the thought is more painful than the act.
Yeah, and of course, at this time of year when it's much lighter,
it's much easier.
And if you do get a decent morning and you get the sunrise and you can hear the bird song, that just is naturally setting you up for a good day.
Yeah, and again, it's that selfish discipline towards the end of the day as well. You know, selfish. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to keep working beyond a certain cutoff, beyond a certain time. Or if you have to, maybe break that up while it's still light and go for a walk around the block and then come back in and start again.
Now, Tom, we are going to do this monthly now. Now we've got ourselves back into a routine. Mm-hmm. And I take full responsibility for my inability to get my act together for that. Now, I'm going to remind you of the 4 o'clock start in January next year. And I'm going to say to you, it'd be the first Friday of January after New Year. Tom, let's welcome you back. Happy New Year and Happy Christmas. Now, what was it like at 4 o'clock this morning? I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a note in my diary.
The world has four seasons, and I probably move the seasons a little bit. Let's move it to six.
Dr. Tom Waller, thank you so much indeed for spending time with here on Siren Radio. And don't forget, not only can you hear this broadcast on a Friday, and also we're going to be repeating it over the weekend, you can have a look at our wonderful podcast site. It's sirenradio.podbean.com, and that's where you can find a podcast version of the conversation that I've just had with Dr. Tom Waller. Dr. Tom, for the moment, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Andrew.